It's Thursday night, September 9th.
Yeah. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time together now. That your truth would flow. Your truth would flow, Lord. Flow through us and into us, and that we would be just in your truth. Put us in your truth by your Spirit, Lord. That you would illuminate your word by your Spirit. That it would, the things that are hidden from the natural man, that they would become apparent to the Spirit man. Oh, do that good work by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I had a strange day, and strange in the sense that I don't think that I've ever really appreciated the Christianity. What God designed it to be. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. Few that be that find it, you know, the ones that we're familiar with. And God has arranged an awesome thing for those that do find it. No eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has never entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. What about those that don't love Him? Or what about those that maybe have to love Him? Or think they do and don't? Or like somebody I knew really well, I said, I've seen just about everything there is. And I'm just going to sit back now and just relax and wait for the rapture. And the idea maybe is good to that person's mind, but it's not scriptural. God has prepared something I believe, I would know, but that. That eternal life was designed by God before He ever created anything. Well, of course it would be, because that's who He is. And so here we are facing, you know, the older you get, the closer it is, of course. And it's like, am I going to make it? You know, and somebody could look at you and say, well, of course you're going to. You know what? That's not good enough anymore.
No.
That's not good enough.
I agree.
And the opinions, the good opinion or the bad opinion, it really does that. That's really that. Oh, it doesn't. And I've been thinking about that for the last couple of days, especially. And the pearl of great price. What is that? I thought it to be a lot of things. I thought it was a discovery of the value of God's word, and it could be part of it, but the pearl of great price, is that not eternal life?
That's what I was just thinking.
Me too. I was going, no, the most valuable thing is eternal life.
Yeah. And so Is it worth paying the whole house a lot? Or do we kind of let the opinions of people decide whether we're holy or unholy or whatever? You know, what do we do? And work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Pass your time sojourning. Which is a word that we're not really familiar with today, but living at the place while we're here on earth in fear. That's what it says. And that's King James, but something closer to that than in the
church. Has to be the same idea. No, if without fear, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
Certain element of fear. Some, you know, have fear be a part of the deal.
I have, I've seen a lot. But at the same time, I'm really not comfortable. Kind of let things slide, or whatever. I'm not. And I don't know what the answer is, but I and the answer may be a lot simpler than what I think. There's two guys that once stood to pray, and one of them said, I thank you, Lord, that I've been like other men. And the other one, the publican, what was he? He says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it says that he went on justified rather than the other. Which gives us a picture of how God sees things. He that exalts himself will be humbled, and he will humble himself will be exalted. And it's a possibility that's the way God sees things, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's where my messed up mind has been for a couple of days.
Well, we dare not. We really dare not do anything else.
No. It can't be like the Matthew 7 guys. Lord, we've done all these things in your name. He says, I never knew you. Thinking that a lot of our relationship with the Lord is an inward mental cassette. I don't know if that's the way to put it, but it's like, Lord help. You know? And a constant place of asking for God's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. You know, we have a good and gracious God, but you start deciding what God's grace is going to be, and Oh, that's a fool's thing to do.
Yeah. This has been a dual thought pattern. It's been in my mind for a long time, but I've been deceived before. I've been fooled. I certainly don't want to be fooled here.
I was listening to the recount in the New Testament of David, and the term got repeated. I don't even know who it was now that was doing it, but he was saying how there was judges and kings, and they wanted a king, and they, you know, God gave him Saul, and then for 40 years, and then he removed him and gave him David, whom he says is a man after my own heart, because he always does my will.
Mm-hmm.
I am way away from that. You know? And I know that's part of it. See, it's total surrender is to do always want to do his will, to just be totally given over to him. It's like, I'm so far from that right now, in this particular days, you know. And I know that. But that's probably like when you do cry for mercy, because I don't want to be there. You know, I'd much rather be sold out. And I know I've been much more sold out at different times in the past. Which is what's crazy, because, you know, God's given all this insight to himself and truth. And, well, maybe that's why sometimes you know where you're at, too. You know?
So, excuse the interruption, but are you saying you thought you were more sold out, but you really didn't know, and now you recognize that, yeah, I'm not as sold out as I should be, or thought I was.
Right. Well, I just think that at times I have been more.
I know in the past that I thought I've been more in tune with what I think I need, like, to be in tune with God. But then I also know, with what little understanding I had of the Word, that I don't know that I really was all that in tune at all. You know, in tune with what I thought was what God was versus where I think.
You know, I don't know if you have to, like, it all has to be in the Word, the whole thing of a relationship. I just know there has been times when I was just more given over to him.
Thoughts were on the things of the Lord. Huh?
Yeah, just more concentrated on the Lord. You know?
Yeah, sure, I accept that.
No, might not have been as deep as stuff, but that's not the point. It's like he's getting at. It's like what's inside. It's like, you know, whether you're doing a lot doesn't mean anything, but if you want to and are open to is what means a lot to God. You know. Because he may say, no, you're not ready yet, or whatever, you know. But anyway. And I'm not necessarily feeling like condemnation, not from the enemy. This is just soul searching, you know. Knowing I could certainly be much better. And we all could be much better. You know, I mean, that's a given. But, you know, there's times when you just know you could be, you know. Could you know yourself somewhat?
That would be the thing that is, would be where I am in sin. It's not that I do a bunch of terrible things, you know. But I just don't have enough of my life dedicated to the Lord.
Yeah.
It's just kind of what I'm saying. It's an insufficient amount. You know, it's, forget about 100%, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's yeah. And that is sin. That's sin. That's sin. That's it.
Yeah. Every thought, word, and deed, and that's your just payment.
Okay.
There's not a lot of wiggle room in that.
No, that's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Keith. I said, I was trying to paraphrase that one scripture. Every thought, word, and deed, and that's your just due. That's it. If everything you have is according to God, you just might be getting even.
Yes. Reasonable service, isn't it?
Reasonable service.
Now, there is a scripture that could rescue us in this to a degree. And that's one that says, without faith, how does it say, without faith you are dead? Or without? Anyway, it implies that not having faith is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that part. I mean, I have faith in God. I have faith he's got a plan. It's going to work out for those that love him.
Well, maybe we're better off than I thought. But at the same time, what if?
Well, yeah, I don't know if we're better off than you thought. But, you know, I'm not saying this. I'm just saying in one area we may not be sinning, and that is having faith in his word and, you know, in truth, you know.
I'm deficient in faith. I mean, there's a bunch of things that if my faith were strong and vital in that area, I would be giving, you know, it'd be the Lord's. I you know.
Yeah.
I
guess there's a lot of different areas to faith.
But I think you're both right. I think we have more faith, and I think we're still deficient.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't disagree with either point. I mean, I think I've got more faith, but I certainly don't have complete faith. I mean, Scripture says we can move mountains if we have enough faith.
Right.
It's because I can't move a mountain yet. I'm assuming, in God's eyes, I'm still lacking. Or, as you said, I know I'm deficient. But I do feel I have more faith based upon a better understanding of the Word, of my relationship with Him. And I do think He's bringing me into more understanding, and I have faith that if I come to this meeting, that God's going to reveal something, and it's going to strengthen my
Word. Yeah, we're pretty much counting on it, can't we?
Yeah. So I mean, but I can't move a mountain.
Yeah.
Well, we are eating manna, though. We are eating manna. Now, I mean, we're eating some other stuff, too, but we're eating manna.
Well, yeah, and I am not disagreeing with you on your other comment, but I think back about a lot of choices I made, and they were choices, but I think about the 80s when I started coming, which was like 84, you know. And it was nothing to be at church 6-7 days a week. Nothing to be at church 6-7 hours on a Friday, 6-7 hours on a Sunday. I mean, and I wanted to be there, and I was making choices to be there. And I felt that I was really in tune with God. But I never felt humble in that. I felt I was at the place where God was shining down on me, and if this is where I was, I had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
And so I did all those things, and I made all good choices, and I think my heart was right, but I was not right. And someone might have said I was more sold out. And now I go, well, you know, I clearly know I could be doing more. I mean, I know these things. But I don't, I also never walk around thinking, you know, I've got it. I'm there. Now I clearly understand I'm not there. So I'm trying to balance where you sit and where I'm at, and I know exactly what you're saying, and yet I'm trying not to give too much credit to what I did in the past, because I think I did it even though I wanted to be there, my heart was right, and I made good choices. Still not sure that the motivation was as pure for God as it needed to be or should have been. I mean, I think it was kind of, this is what we did. This is what was expected of us. I don't know. I could be wrong.
When the Spirit of the Lord is moving in a big, big way, it's easy to have your thoughts on the Lord.
Well, and true. Yeah, and he was.
Right.
And he was.
Right.
And isn't it stepping stones to get to where you are now?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, so, I'm sure we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
And right. I'm sure God used that for good.
Yeah.
So I'm not regretting any of that. In fact, it was good, but I don't know, maybe I'm overly sensitive to think that what I did in the past was good, and I'm trying to say whatever I'm about to do or what God's got for me in the future is going to be even better.
You know,
maybe I'm too defensive that way. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I've raised some days and stuff, have looked back, and I've just seen where I thought, oh, it was so stupid then, doing stuff like that. You know, whatever. But it's a good reflection, because it's good to have seen it at some time, recognize that it wasn't, you know, that a lot of it, some of it was me in the natural, trying to be spiritual, maybe, or whatever.
I don't know. You do the best you can.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize it at the time, but now as I look back, you can recognize, because of what he's been showing us, you can see, you know, this, what's real spirit and what's not, and what's whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to,
so you don't want to repeat it again, yeah, of course.
And to your point, there were clearly moments when God was touching me. The Spirit was really there in a powerful way. I'm not denying the good that God did. But I made my peace with God. Showed me all of these things, and I felt all of the things that I felt. And then everything kind of went south, and my summation was, yeah, so you ain't ready to handle what God's got for you, right? Because how'd you get into this mess? And I kind of went, well, yeah, okay, I see this light too. You know, it's still a work in progress. But at the time, I didn't think it was so much a work in progress. I was just glory, you know, glory. It was good moments. But I think it's good that you're having these questions about Christianity, Keith, because it keeps us on our toes.
Well, we must not take a pair of scissors and cut out the scripture that said we are to do or sojourn in fear. You know, we must not do that. It's we are to be living this life in fear of what our eternal destination will be.
See, and we wouldn't be talking about these things about us if we didn't have that.
Yeah.
It's a real concern.
Yeah.
Because it's scriptural, and and you got it. If God couldn't do what he says he can do, then...
Yeah, actually, as I think about it, you know, back then, nobody thought they weren't going to make it.
No, that was not.
You know?
That was not part of the deal.
Nobody thought they weren't going to make it.
No.
We were all going to make it.
Well, not only were we going to make it, but we were going to lead the way for everyone else to make it. I mean, we were so far past whether we're getting in the door. We were talking about our place at the table. And, you know, it was...
The Bride of Christ and She's Coming Home, or whatever, however that song went.
She's right on my back. I'm leading the way. Follow me, boys, and I'll get you to the promised land.
Right.
You know, we had that one... That one cartoon, I don't know, that Julie Morrow put it up, but it was really good. It was two people walking on the sidewalk, and there's a church, and the glory of God is just beaming down from the sky and just bathing this church. And the one's talking to the other, and they says, yeah, they got a pride problem. They think they really got it. Yeah. And I kind of... Man, that's really good on a couple of levels. Yeah. So it's, but you know, so. Church trembling has been one of my cornerstone scriptures to build the church on. I build my church on it because if you don't have that, then. A lot of this is just an exercise. I mean,
if we hadn't had periods of time in which we all experienced a pride problem, we wouldn't know about pride problems, though.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And given what I know now, you could have a lot of problems. But one you really don't want to have trying to make eternal life be a thing is a pride problem.
That's right.
Because it is a big thing to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's grace and mercy. And then there's grace and mercy to overcome my pride problem, Lord.
Yeah.
I think you're really stretching on that one. If you're like, I got it. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I'm not like this man here.
I think the Lord, you know, He extends grace. He gives us slack. But maybe not so much on pride.
Well, I don't want to find out.
Yeah, right.
I guess is where I'm going. Yeah. But I mean, we in our own way, we kind of are living in Scripture. Oh, I'm thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this church.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm so grateful I'm part of the bride company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
But we still had to run the race, and we're still here, and it's still 20 plus years down the road, and He's still revealing things. So I feel, you know, and yet you got that Matthew 7 people, and you go, it's a pretty scary little example there. Right, make sure your heart is right.
All right. And then, remember, Jesus said, because you say you see, your sin remains.
Oh, yeah. That's another one I really wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I was having a talk today with my dentist, and we had been kind of talking. We hadn't, because of COVID, we hadn't seen my first teeth cleaning in a long time. Anyways, I'm chatting with the dentist, and I said, you know, I'm just a little disappointed, you know. God's not going to give you any more than you can handle, and you know, you like to tell the Lord that you think He's miscalculated slightly, that I have enough. And the dentist, she laughed. She said, "Oh yeah, I understand completely. You know, so and so is ill, and I got this going on, and there's these people at dance, and it's like, you go, my plate is playing full. I mean, you know, can you find a way to kind of ease my burden a little bit?" And you go, well, you know, if it's all just a test, you know, can I get the sophomore version of it, not the graduate version of the test?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Church today has become an excuse see what's my excuse. Oh, we'll come up with one for you. And there's a scripture that says that he came to deliver those who through fear of death were all of their lifetime in bondage. And church people are afraid to die as anybody else.
I even argue that church people are more afraid to die.
Yeah.
I mean, the person who doesn't believe in hell is not worried about death nearly as much as the person who does believe in hell and going, I'm not sure I've done everything I need to do to avoid that ticket.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely nothing would be preferable to hell.
Did I misunderstand you? Wouldn't absolutely everything be preferable now?
That's right, yeah.
I thought you said it. I thought I heard it the other way. I went, absolutely nothing would be preferable. And I went,
well,
I didn't know
there
maybe
were,
there was something
you know,
I was missing.
If this were truly the end of the road, you know, it's like now, you know. Nothing after, nothing in the way of an afterlife.
I was testing my hearing.
That would be,
yeah.
That beats hell.
Yeah, when Keith and I pray at night, we always have a prayer where we ask for the Father's strength to allow us to choose not our will and not this world, but life everlasting in His will. I don't think that's just not something that naturally happens. We need Him to help us to do that.
Be intentional or something on this thing, huh?
Well, to just say, you know, thought, word, deed, or however you want to say, like, it's tough to say, okay, I don't want to be comfortable if God wants me to be uncomfortable, and if being uncomfortable is what I need to do for eternal life. And unfortunately, I don't think we see those things that clearly. It's not like, if you don't do this, eternal life's in jeopardy. Well, then, by golly, I won't do that. But we do sort of see, like, well, I'm still not winning in this area, and I need to win in this area. I mean, we want to win in all areas. But, you know, to turn your back on the flesh man and turn your face towards the spirit man.
Sure.
That's the trick. Not to say that our spiritual walk is a trick, but I mean that's the thing you gotta grab hold of and work at. Endeavor.
Well, did we solve that?
Solve it?
Yeah, where were you?
No. It's not really something that
you solve, I don't think it's.
You know.
Well, it's right up there with what's the difference between your soul and your spirit? Kind of question. It's like, you know, some meat on the bone there.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of people that don't. Everybody don't know the difference.
think I saw one of those little things about different translations or whatever.
Different what?
Different translations.
Yeah.
Wording gets changed. Because I was just started listening today to First Timothy and stuff in my truck. And I just opened to First Timothy and I ended up at chapter 3 right at the end. And, you know, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Well, God was not received up in glory.
No, right.
But next to God up there is a little A, which is a reference. So down here it says, and you text reads, who was manifested in the flesh? Which would, and he's referring, I mean, basically, most of this is about Jesus in those things that I read.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So, if you didn't, it would run more true not having God there, but having who was manifested.
I see. You know, that's the better. It's the better understanding.
Yeah. So you're wondering, well, you know, they have to stick that in there because they got to keep that Trinity going, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at other translations here now.
It's 1 Timothy 3, what verse?
16. Last verse in the chapter.
Yeah, it looks as though some manuscripts say God was manifested in flesh. And I don't know if I have a big argument with God being manifested in flesh.
No, not necessarily. I mean, but I thought it was interesting that because you could just say that in the first line doesn't mean that every line after that has to line up with that line. You know. But see, God seen by angels, well, what would that mean to us? You know, that
it does seem to be kind of a King James slant. Most of the other ones don't go there. The New American Standard Bible says, beyond question, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
See, that's Christ.
And that is yeah. Christ, not a God. And that's the NASB viewed as the most literal of the manuscripts. In fact, most, Charlie's looking too, but most of these rarely use the word God, except the two King James.
Yeah.
I
mean, contemporary English version. The Spirit proved that he pleased God and was seen by angels. Christ was preached to the nations. People in this world put their faith in him, and he was taken up in glory.
Wow.
He clearly got away from the Trinity kind of thing.
But, you know, then, now, when you read the beginning of chapter 4, it's just so apparent now, after how long we've been listening, that this happens. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, you know, forgetting to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to receive a thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. You know, it's so apparent that's where the churches went. Or a lot of the churches.
Yep, that's true.
Shouldn't judge in that regard. But,
but
yeah, I mean, we've encountered a lot of that. mm-hmm. in the past.
Yeah.
Maybe still are, who knows, but...
But in a way, doesn't it kind of remind you of what Moses told the Jews? He gave them the law and then said, but you're not going to, you know, you're going to fall away from this because, you know, what he's saying is human nature, being as weak as it is, you're just not going to do what you're being commanded to do. And in the New Gospel or in the New Testament, it's, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away of the faith because the devil's going to be successful at picking
yeah.
people off.
That's right. Yeah, the devil pulls that way, and there's a certain percentage, pretty good-sized percentage, I suppose, that go with the pull that the enemy pulls.
You know, I just read on, and all of a sudden, it just seems like, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. That could wipe out about 80% of legalism. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, if you're not sanctifying it with the word of God and prayer, sure. But if you are, you know, you don't get caught up with all this silly stuff that what you're eating and whatever, you know? I started thinking about, well, if you ask God to bless every meal and make a good nourishment onto your body, would it really matter what you're eating?
Shouldn't that
be in a sense, I mean, of course you can be ridiculous, but
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. And, you know, I thought too, and this is a real spot for me because if really obese people, I mean, if they love the Lord and whatever and they're trying to, you know, how do you pass judgment? He can keep them living to be 90 or 100.
Sure.
You know, when they're not supposed to because they're unhealthy, you know. I mean, and it's true, like, even with COVID, I think that's a lot of the problem is people aren't healthy and it affects them worse. Now, you can be unhealthy in a lot of other areas than being obese, you know.
Sure.
So, it's not just that, but, you know, and I used to, that was a horrible area for me.
Oops.
Of judgment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just... But then I had people like Sandra, who I love dearly, you know, that just, you know, and others too. There's a lot of them that were just, yeah. I didn't,
you know. You have different battles.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's every creature is good in the sight of God.
Well. Amen to that, and you know, the thing to maybe remember is, I don't think that a fit person or an unfit person's soul is any different in God's eyes,
yeah.
And He isn't interested in the flesh.
No,
and that's what always helped me. You know,
I do spend a fair amount of time trying to make my flesh be good.
Well,
you know what I mean.
There's other scriptures that say, you know, you should.
A little exercise is good, but.
Well,
you
know. Right. Anything to excess is a problem, right?
Yeah.
Except praying. I mean, I can't find any scripture that says you pray too much.
Oh, yeah. John and for bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of clears things. But you dwell on every creature of God is good.
Exactly.
You know?
What's that line? God didn't make junk?
Yeah.
Everything, you know?
So people are are creatures, along with deer and everything else.
Well,
you know,
we got created, so
they're creatures.
Make
yeah.
us creatures.
Yeah, what's that other line? God has a sense of humor, and meaning he created the platypus. Funny-looking, odd-looking creature.
Well, why do you make a fish start out swimming like this and ends up going like this, which is,
yeah,
you know, how?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of niches.
Yeah. I just right there, just kind of something changed in me a little bit. It was like, see, don't be getting so caught up in all this judgment stuff or whatever.
Yeah, health plays a little more significant role for me than, you know, it would be for an ordinary person or what I used to, you know, been a year ago, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just different, you know.
And, you know, yeah, and I thought about that, and I would be the same way if I was with you. Well, why do I just give into it and go to be with God.
Yep.
But you know what? But I don't know if he's necessarily made us that way either.
No, I don't want to miss out on, if there is some powerful ministry at the end, I don't want to miss out on that.
That is a disease, and you really don't want to give into it. You want to conquer it.
That's right.
You know,
that's
want
right.
to
yeah,
win victory.
That's the challenge that is set before me now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, well, maybe we can pray on Sunday. Monday, I'm going in to cardiology at Mayo because I have a little heart murmur, which I have been told quite a while ago. But, you know, the guy brought it up at the VA thing when I went and had my thing. He said, you should just go have it looked at, checked out, he said. You know, because it can get worse, he said. Mm-hmm. So you'd kind of know where your condition is, so. So that's going to happen, but I think a couple different times, whoever was listening to my heart rate would say, "Oh, did you know you have a little murmur?" Well, the first time I went, "No," and then I thought, "Well, somebody else has mentioned it." they weren't real concerned at the time because evidently it wasn't sounding
pretty common in a lot of people.
It is pretty common. It's supposedly a little, I don't know if you want to call it a flap, but. Mm-hmm. It opens up a little more, and then you get a murmur when your heart's
stopping. What's going on?
Yeah. And he said you wouldn't want that to be, digressing or disintegrate or whatever. You wouldn't, you know, you'd want to catch it because I think they can do something with it.
Oh, there's treatment for it?
Evidently. It kind of sounds that
way. I think there's a procedure for it.
Or a procedure.
Yeah, I don't think it would take a pill and stiffen the pill.
No, it would be a procedure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds like open heart surgery to me.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know, it could be just a vessel that's being plugged and thrown it off, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why he said, you should just go find out. You know?
Yeah.
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 I wouldn't mind seeing what condition my heart's in, you know. I mean.
No. I can sit and take my pulse and count them all. I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Every once in a while, there's a pause in there. You know.
Yeah, a little book.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, I went up and we rode Saturday up at Hickory Ridge, which was 20 miles on single track. I mean, I was wasted when I got done. And there's a lot of little climbs and all that. So then last night, what's today? Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So last night, or late afternoon, Todd and I, that was our first ride since then. And we went off to Lowe's. I said, well, I'll lead because I said, I don't know if I can go hardly. My legs might be complete noodles here in the first, you know, whatever. So he said, well, you lead because I don't care how fast we go. So I took off and it was going good. I probably ended up riding harder than I have in a long time. And when I got home, my average heart rate was like 106, and normally it'd be 120 something, and the highest I got was 152, and I've been up as high as 168, you know, for max. And so that is odd, you know.
Yeah, what accounts for that?
I don't know. It's, well, I think
exercise.
Yeah, I think that hard ride probably got me in shape a little bit more. So then when I went now 2 days later, I just had more there. And, you know, the muscle didn't work as hard to go harder even. I was going harder than I normally do out at Lowe's. But what happened, I got back that day on Saturday. So I sat in the recliner and I was drinking and I was eating some mixed nuts to get, and then I was going to make something to eat. And then I thought, oh man, I'm tired. So I took a little nap. When I woke up, as most of us do, I stretched my legs, but I must have pointed my left toe wrong. I got a cramp in my left calf. And I mean, I was breaking out in a sweat trying to get rid of that thing. And I finally, it took me a while to get stood up. And then I grabbed this. I have one of them vibrating guns, and I started working that thing. So that thing's been sore ever since.
Oh, yeah.
When I rode the other night, I never felt it the whole time I was riding. But, so anyway, I don't know how.
Work it out somehow, maybe.
Oh, because I thought heartburn and all that stuff. I forgot we were still on tape.
But I think it was kind of a segue off of what Charlie had said. And, you know, I mean, the question of what's too much and what's not enough, and is treat your body as a temple and not be judgmental about other temples.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. And it's so easy for us to do that, because what our eyes see is like, it's not gated.
No, and I've ridden with a guy this summer that is huge, who kicked my butt going up hills, you know. And the whole ride, basically, he wanted to, you know. But yes, he's been out of shape a lot, too, and he's coming back now. He's been riding a lot. But, yeah, he's just, you know, some are, they're just capable. You don't have to be 100 pounds lighter to put you in the dust, you know.
Well, I mean, even, not to go too far, but there's quite a bit of difference in bike cyclist styles, even in the Tour. I mean, when Armstrong was winning, the number two guy in the world, maybe probably number one unaided, was that German. And they used to talk about, you know, he wasn't really good at sprint, but once he got the engine going, he was moving, you know. So so it was like, you know, weighed like 40 pounds more than Armstrong. But once he got the mass going, it, you know, so.
Just like an elephant. Just once it gets going, watch out.
Well, it's got, you know, nowadays you get the power output in watts. And some guys are just phenomenally unreal. I mean, they can put out like 200 more watts than anybody else for half an hour to an hour, you know. But so everybody has different body styles and does different things.
Yep, stretch levels.
Yeah.
Well, I say like a major league pitcher, his tendon is attached to the bone at just a slightly different spot, which allows him to get more velocity on the pitch.
Yeah, and hold up.
Yeah, and hold up. So we're all God's creatures.
Yeah.
We're all unique. And so you got to be pretty careful about going, that doesn't fit my idea of what should be happening.
Right, exactly.
Because I know God really didn't mean to do it that way. Yep. Like, I get out of the God questioning business pretty quick.
We judge, but we know enough that, hey, we don't want that bush to get too profuse. We know better than to judge. We catch ourselves and we go,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we
exactly.
Get them all back. You know?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
It's easy to slip into, and then I think the good thing is we recognize that we've slipped into it, and we gotta,
you know, and not everybody does. You know, I mean, it's not any wonderful virtue on our part. We just know that, hey, we really have no business judging, you know. I don't know that everybody is in an environment that teaches them that, no, we really have no business judging.
That's one of the keys to the truth that he's been given us, is showing us
yep.
our weaknesses
mm-hmm.
so that we don't judge other weaknesses. Because yeah. we know we have them.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
When we've come to accept that we have them, you know, that's the other thing.
Uh-huh. Huh?
Hey, man, I was going to just chime in that, and I think a difference that we can thank the Lord for is that we don't get hung up on the single example to make our point. We look at the whole body of the Scripture. I mean, mm-hmm. if all you have is you should treat your body like a temple, and you turn that into your doctrine, that ignores all the other things like don't worry about too much physical exercise and worry about eternal life.
Godliness.
You've got to thank you. But I mean, the point yeah. is, you could hear yeah. one and you hang your hand on that, and by golly, you know, then you look at someone heavy and you go, you are not living up to Scripture. And you go, yeah, well, if you broaden your view of what Scripture is, you'd realize that that's not all it says about this subject. And mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that has really kept us from going off and realizing we've got more to do. At least it's keeping me. I don't need
sure.
to speak for anybody else.
And, you know, maybe in a setting, if you share with people like that, then if they're a little overweight, but they know you have a weakness in this, and then you both say, well, let's pray for each other. And maybe God can make us better.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes.
And I bet a lot of them need
That's
change.
When things are right.
And I got areas that need change. You know, I mean,
I'm sure the people who are overweight would really be happy to hear someone say, you know, I've got problems too. And, you know, if this is something you want to have God deal with, I'll be happy to pray for it. Would you pray for my weaknesses?
Yeah.
And I think that would be probably a real good thing yeah. for that.
And these things are always so complicated. You know, if I certainly have been guilty of gluttony in my lifetime, you know.
Yeah.
You wouldn't particularly know it by looking at my frame, but, nothing short of gluttony, you know, in my...
Brother, I've seen you at... At potlucks, and I can.
Yeah, you have a vouch for that.
I think I can relate to what you say, and I was right there with you.
You know what? There was a time I think that if you put Mark and I in the line, you didn't want to be behind us. And we were little, but man, could we eat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you call that anything other than gluttony.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's You just have somehow a metabolism, body chemistry, whatever.
Is it a good thing to say, yeah, no one can out-eat me, I can put more food down than anybody else? Is that a winning thing?
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah.
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 And that is, you know, metabolisms have a lot to do with it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what you don't recognize is it can change. That metabolism doesn't, I know it didn't stay with me all through my life.
I could tell you my metabolism from like 16 to 24, 22, about 10 times what it was after about 22, 23, because I started gaining weight and I didn't do a thing different.
Yeah.
It was, you know, but 10,000 calories a day on a new metabolism was too many.
Yep.
Without a problem. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should.
Well,
it was still somewhat connected.
You know, God was doing good there.
Yeah.
We love you all.